Well, today we continue with our study of doing life with one another. And Jeremy thought that we would preach with one another today. Today we have looked at, over the last few weeks, we have talked to about how that we love one another, that we should live in unity with one another. And today we want to talk about how that we can encourage one another. You know, as Karen said earlier during I Surrender All, there are just so many things that I know that many of you and many of us are going through right now. Some of those things are extremely challenging. And right now, more than ever, we need to be doing this with one another. And one of the best and just greatest ways that God enables us to help one another is to encourage. Encourage. You know, encouragement is one of those spiritual gifts that we don't really highlight very much. But when you've been around someone who truly has that, you think about that one person. Every time you're around them, don't you feel better when you've walked away? Now, some of you may be like me. I have the gift of spiritual discouragement. Oh, it's an unspiritual gift? It's unspiritual. There are people in my life. My wife is one of those people. That just, when she talks about things, I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Take the garbage out. She encourages. But spiritually, our encouragement is much deeper than that. Our encouragement is to go in times when there's trouble. And I want to share a verse with you, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Paul's writing here, and he's encouraging people to help each other out into some difficult times. And he writes this, he says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another." And I love how he writes this, "daily as long as it's called today." So in case you didn't know when to encourage people, today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's distraction. Today is the day. Maybe you've been like me and you always think of something really nice to say, like tomorrow, right? It's always the thing like, ooh, I just left that person. I should have said this. But it's not too late. Because the writer here tells us we should encourage people today. Now, there's a whole lot of reasons for that. We never know that when tomorrow's going to be here. Not guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to see that person again. And if you're like me, if the tomorrow comes, you've probably forgotten. But today is the day of encouragement. And the reason for that is because we want to start establishing right now that we are for each other with one another. Because that's the way it works. It's not always like some big thing. There's a lot of big things that we do for one another. Help a buddy move. Help somebody do something amazing like build a house. Amen. But sometimes it's just the little things. And that one little thing leads to another little thing, leads to another little thing. And as this week, as we were preparing and talking about that, Jeremy, you shared a story with me about how you've been an encouragement for somebody, and then that person actually ended up encouraging you.
Yeah, so when I managed Bob's Gym, I had about 16 to 20 employees that worked for me. And I had one in particular. His name is Gabe, and he's... 20 now, I think, but he was 19, 18 at the time, and I had a chance over those times to kind of pour into him and lead him in his walk. And I actually got to take him to Myanmar with me last year and just got to see him grow over the last year. And it was really cool because, like, we just kind of messaged back and forth, just encouraging each other. And, you know, I just got back here a couple weeks ago, and it was interesting because I get to the airport, and we had this big fiasco of planes being canceled, rental cars being screwed up, and flying to Charlotte just to get to Evansville. And we didn't know what time we were going to get home. And I get off the airplane. Of course, I see Shelly and Josiah there, which, you know, yeah, they were picking me up. So, you know, it was great to see them. And I love seeing them. I know that sounded really bad, but I love seeing them. But what really caught my eye was I see this curly-headed, just he's got this real long. He looks like Lionel Richie. That's what I called him all the time. But I see this kid, and he's at the airport at 11:30 at night. And to me, that was a big encouragement because I hadn't really talked to him much over the last 6 months. So you know, I step off the airplane after being frustrated and. You know, wanting to, you know, do things that Christians shouldn't do to airport employees. But it was just really cool to see this kid who I've been able to just share a little bit of the gospel with and walk alongside. And he stays up at night. I didn't tell him what time we were getting in, which was the interesting thing. But it was really cool and encouraging to me to be able to see the fruit of that relationship through that period of time. So,
I thought about coming out, but
we had to be at the airport at like 4 a.m. He said, "I'll just pray for you." And granted, he did get up and send me a text, so that was really cool.
I did. I scheduled it the night before. Secret revealed. Well, when we read this passage, we see how that the writer is telling us that we should encourage one another, and we see. He's talking specifically about sin and help to prevent us from falling into sin and being hard-hearted. You know, in this story, and there's a lot more to that, obviously, than what Jeremy shared, and it was over a time, a period. You actually invited him to go to Myanmar with you last year, right?
Yeah.
And so he had gone to, and so here you've taken this high school kid who you're kind of the employee, and it's like, hey, go, you know, put toilet paper in the bathroom and mop floors, and then like some encouragement happens, and then there's like these steps, and then eventually, you know, Gabe got to go with him to Myanmar and experience this joy and this love of a just active, faithful living with Christ lifestyle that Jeremy had been modeling and sharing with him. And it's hard. We don't know how to sometimes make that transition. And so today we want to kind of unpack some steps of how that we get there. Because it's easy to kind of come up here and say, hey, like, just encourage everyone. And you're like, well, that's wonderful. How do we do that? So we're going to give you some really simple steps. And they kind of progress from one to the other. And the first thing, it is prayer. The very first thing is prayer. That's how we can encourage one another. James 5:16 tells us this, pray for each other. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It is powerful and effective. Now, it sometimes seems so cliche to just say, oh, I'll pray for you. Oh, you're my prayers. But if you've ever had one of those days or weeks or that period of your life where it just is really difficult and somebody you know comes up to you and says, you know, I've been praying for you. And if we just pause for a second and think about what that means. Now, I allude to the fact that I have this wristband that allows me entrance into this basketball tournament this weekend and that because of Jesus' blood and his sacrifice that we have access to the throne. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is us. We are not physically going there, but it is us spiritually going to the throne of God and standing before the Creator God who's in charge of all things and petitioning him. An act that used to be reserved only to the most high priest who sanctified and holified himself to just once a year going into the Holy of Holies to make these petitions. And we at the moment's notice, can drop to our knees or just close our eyes or bow our head or just in our own hearts and thoughts, lift a prayer and enter into the throne room of God. So when we read a verse that says, pray for one another, do not take that lightly. Now I have witnessed this through my mom's life, that over the years, everybody knows she's praying Faye. And at times I have just kind of poo-pooed that off, going, oh, my mom prays for everybody. My mom prays for people in the middle of Target and Walmart that we don't even know. But as I have gotten older and I've seen the fruit of those prayers and what that meant to people's lives and that ministry, and appreciate what it is that she's doing, it has changed my perspective. And she's not here today, but I will tell you, it gave me more respect for her. Don't tell her I said that, though. Prayer. We just miss it so sometimes casually as, hey, I'll pray for you. I'll lift you up in prayer. But I'm here to tell you, it is a powerful tool. And sometimes as we enter into the workplace and we enter into the world and our community and we interact especially with those who are non-believers, you don't know how much that sometimes that will change somebody's life. I think back to a time when I was a probation officer, and there was a time when some really bad things happened in my life, and through the grace of God, I was able to stay faithful, and it created a testimony to my coworkers. And some of those coworkers were blatantly agnostic, atheists, wanting nothing to do with God. But I watched some of them in moments of crisis and brokenness come to me and say, I don't know why, but I am here to ask you. Shut the door. I need you to pray for me. There is an innate just instinct in all human beings. A recognition that there is a power greater than us, that there is someone beyond us, and we need his help. So when we read in James, pray for one another, we do that for prayers of supplication, we do that for prayers of thanksgiving and rejoicing. We do that also because when one another comes together, there's strength. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says that where two come together that were cold, that they can keep warm, and three, I've messed up the verse, but you guys know it. Yeah, a cord of three strands. Thanks. So you just recently graduated from Bible college, so you still remember that one. Where a cord of three strands come together, it's not easily broken. And when we come together in agreement, it does a lot of things for us. For one, we realize we're not alone. And the second thing is it helps us to share the burden. And Jeremy's going to share with us about the way that we can encourage one another by carrying each other's burdens.
Yeah, in Galatians 2, Paul's writing, and he says that bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And if we know the law of Christ, he gives that to us in the Gospels, but he teaches us to love God with all that's within us and love our neighbor as ourselves. And when we go through these difficult times, or, you know, Paul specifically here, he's talking about trespasses, he's talking about sin, but I feel like he's also talking about when life get you down, because we're all bombarded with worldly burdens, whether that's addictions, whether that's disease, whether that's just dealing with the effects of that sin has created in the fall. And so in Colossians 3, Paul, he's writing, he said, seek first the things above. And when we're going through these hard times, these struggles, it's very hard to look past those struggles to seek above. The things above. And I'll tell you something that is very encouraging is to be able to have those people to walk alongside of you to see God move through that. And you can start to see things above. And it's interesting because we as the church, we're called to carry others' burdens. There has been countless amount of times that, you know, as Jason said, people have come, hey, can you pray for me? And they're not even believers. I mean, so there's people out there that are wanting more, but they just can't understand, you know, how to get there. And sometimes carrying those burdens will allow us to help those people see the living God. You know, and it's interesting as well, you know, in James 5, we learned last week that it was talking about if anybody among you is sick, bring the elders and we'll anoint them with oil. But in James 5, it talks specifically about the body of Christ coming together and supporting each other, and that includes carrying burdens. For me, you know, there's been many times in my life that, you know, and I shared it back in November when I preached about Shelly and I struggle with infertility. If it wasn't for those people that came alongside of us, some of them had actually experienced that. I don't know if that transition would have been as smooth as it was. And we've been able to walk along other people who have had similar struggles with adoption and infertility. And so being able to lift each other up and carry those burdens is what we're called to do. You know, so encouragement comes when we have others to help us get through life. We can look back on those times where others have helped us get through a struggle or even call us out. And Paul, he says just before this that if, you know, if somebody's caught in trespass, that we're supposed to gently correct them. And people can find encouragement through gentle correctness. You know, obviously we don't want to point them out and say, you know, hey, you're a screw up and all this. But when we come alongside of somebody and say, hey, man, I'm really concerned because I've noticed you've been drinking more than usual. And I can help you carry that burden. Don't do it alone. Or whatever that looks like. Or, you know, just walking along some side of somebody that has an illness. Just saying, hey, I'm praying for you today. In Myanmar, I've got two what we call battle buddies, because you know when the reverse culture shock is a real thing. I never really anticipated it, but stepping foot into a foreign country, there's a shock because they don't live the same way you do. But when you come back and you experience things the way the things that you saw, people don't that have never experienced that don't realize the struggle with adjustment. So we call them battle buddies. We call people that can be on the front lines and get on their knees and pray with us, battle buddies. And I've got two, and I'll tell you, since I've been back, they've texted me or we've called each other every single day to make sure that we're doing what God has called us to do and lifting each other up. So God calls us, and Paul writes that we need to carry each other's burdens, and so we can see Christ in that.
One of the reasons that I think that it's so important that we learn to carry each other's burdens as it creates opportunities. And it creates opportunities for community, and it creates opportunities for us to connect. And so we may start off with prayer, and we may then move into carry a burden. Maybe it's the single mom that you watch the kids for the night, or you know something's going on, and you help somebody else. And the next level may be to serve and connect, to serve and connect. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, we read, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." That's the serve part. How can we spur each other on to good deeds? How can we do good things for one another? Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but to encourage one another. And that's the connection part. And there's one thing that hopefully in the last few weeks, and we'll continue on in this first quarter of this year, is connection. Because we are here, and a vision statement of our church is that we can, and I know I don't need to quote it because you guys have all memorized it, that we are here to, and it's in your bulletin if you ever want to look at it, we are committed to connecting with people. First and foremost, that's what we're about, is connecting. When we look at the picture of Christ and how he came down, that was the thing he did. He was in the places where people were at, and he was hanging out with his disciples, and he was hanging out with his followers, and he was connecting with them. You know, one of the great things to me about the story of when he feeds the thousands, although that is an amazing miracle, it's the very part right before that where he says he looks out and he had compassion on them. He knew that they were hungry. How did he know that? Because he was with them. He was together. He was connected with them. When we see things in our own lives and we see things in other people's lives around us that we can connect with, that we can do things and serve, we won't know that unless, man, I don't know how many times I hear something, I'm like, man, if I had known, I could have done something. Maybe you've said that yourself. After the fact, you find out about a need. After the fact, you knew you could have helped, but you weren't there because there just wasn't a connection. And so we are committed as a church this year to try to develop the connecting each other and connecting ways for people who come to visit, ways who are people who are joining along with us at this local body to connect. Because the rest of the vision is so that we can encourage spiritual growth through Jesus Christ and God's word. Because we're all about Christ and we're all about his word. And that is the bottom line. But it's not going to happen unless we see people connected to one another. Because I can't come in and start laying down, you know, instruction and giving you advice and doing. Have you ever had somebody do that to you in public? If you've been a parent, have you ever had somebody come up and go, well, you know, when my kids did this, this is what I did. So thank you. Well, thank you very much for that advice. I didn't ask. It doesn't work that way. You have to build rapport. You have to build connection. You have to trust one another. And the way you do that, and I have found this to be true in the 30 plus years of me walking with Christ, one of the best ways to do that is to serve with one another. Man, go do a serve project. Come in here and make coffee and hand out bulletins and work in the kids' ministry and mop floors. We get really connected mopping floors. It's those things because it embodies all of the one another's. Those serving opportunities, it means that we love this church, we love Christ, and we love each other. It means that we are living humility because it takes humility to take out the trash and do the things that need to be done in order for this organism called church to happen. And it does it because there's unity and it creates a connection with one another and it encourages one another. So service is so important. There's a reason why in Ephesians, Paul writes, he says that, yes, our works are nothing, chapter 2. Our works are nothing. They won't do anything to get you saved. But he did these things, meaning God. He sets up these works, these acts of service for us. Before the laying of the foundation of the earth, before time began, he had good deeds for us to do. Not to keep us busy. You know, as a parent, we sometimes do that with our kids, don't we? We're like, go clean your room, put the dishes away, take out the trash, fill in the blank, whatever these activities are. And what do we as children, what did we see those things as? Burdens, chores, busy work. You're just trying to get me out of your hair. And even when I try to explain, I am preparing you for adulthood because praying to the Lord, one day you will just fly away and be an adult and have your own home. And there will be no magic elf that just folds your laundry and makes you meals and magically takes the trash out. I'm encouraging you. And that's what God, our Father, is doing. And why is that? Because one day we want our children to be like us, right? To be adults, to be productive and be happy and successful and all the positive things that we can imagine. And our Heavenly Father is the same way. And so he sets up these acts of service and he wants us to connect together. Because I believe wholeheartedly that he puts a little bit of God in me, and he puts a little bit of God in you and you. And when we get together, we get a better picture of who our Father is. You ever ran into, you've known somebody for a while, and then you meet their family? And all of a sudden, some of their quirkiness or some of their mannerisms, you're like, oh, okay, now this is, I got a better picture. I believe that's how the body of Christ, that's how our family's supposed to be. Is it, yes, hopefully they see a reflection of our Father in me and maybe in you alone, but when we're together, it should become clear. And when those moments happen, then we can move into this last phase of encouragement, which is teaching one another.
Yeah, in teaching one another, as Jason said in our mission statement, the whole mission statement is to encourage spiritual growth. And in Colossians 3:16, Paul's writing, and he says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, and with all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another." And he says with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. But I also think that that's a good place where we could teach just in our daily life. Many times, especially in American culture, we like to think that, you know, hey, the pastor's the one that's supposed to teach us, and then we're supposed to listen, and then we're supposed to just kind of hang out and gather. And this is kind of an interesting thing, because when we create a culture of teaching and admonishing, it encourages spiritual growth. We are all called to be teachers. We are all called to do the work that Christ has put in front of us. Some of you may be like, well, I never taught anything in my life, and I get it. I've been there. I'm a learner now, and this is something that I've just experienced in the last 5 years. When I was in high school, I wanted nothing to do with school. I was more worried about building cars and doing different things than reading books. And so just in the last couple of years, I really appreciated learning. But that learning wasn't coming just through knowledge just for myself. I've seen where God's been able to use a wealth of knowledge that I've learned in the last couple of years to be able to go out and share it with others. And so I think that just in being able to teach other people, and like I shared with Gabe, Gabe's this young kid, and he was my prayer partner in Myanmar last year, and it was such a great time, because when we were sitting there on the bus, we had a 45-minute ride to the orphanage, and our whole idea was to share what God's doing in your life, and then we had to pray out loud. And Gabe looks at me, and he goes, well, I don't know how to pray out loud. He goes, I'm not very good at it. And I said, Gabe, it doesn't really matter what, you know, it doesn't matter if you can pray well or pray short. I said, I don't care if you pray for me and say, hey, dear God, be with Jeremy as he is serving today. That's a good prayer. But I watched him as he each day went on, and I encouraged him to pray, and he just became more comfortable with that. And it was really cool to see that growth just in a teaching moment, because a lot of people think that, oh, I'm not a pastor, or I'm not a Bible scholar, or I'm not this. I don't pray out loud. I'm not very good at it. I hear that all the time. It's like, oh, I'm not very good at it. It's like, you don't have to be. It's a connection with God. One of my favorite verses, and I know I've shared it many times, is the Great Commission. And that's just where God's really wrecked me to, and it says to make disciples, to baptize, and teach them all that Christ commanded. And we like to leave the teaching part off. We like to say, hey, we're going to go make disciples, and we're going to baptize them. But we like to leave that teaching aspect off. And that teaching aspect is a really interesting thing, because all we're teaching is what Christ commanded. And that commandment is actually, he likes to call it the Great Commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. I mean, that's the simple command. There's nothing else in there. We can't say, well, you're doing this and you're, you know. We like to point fingers. But how are we going to encourage others to grow in Christ or even come to know Christ if we're busy pointing fingers at people? We're supposed to be teaching them about the love of Christ. And that was his biggest and greatest command. You know, if you've ever done a spiritual gift assessment, I know we've talked about it a few times, but my number one gift is encouragement. That just is, it's interesting because it comes easy to me. Like, hey, you're doing a really good job. Like, I feel like that's something that I can just send a text message to somebody. Hey, I'm thinking about you, praying about you. So, and I've seen God use that. You may have the unspiritual gift of discouragement, like Jason said, but we all have different gifts and abilities to be able to teach people about the Great Commandment. And the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, they're two things that I've seen God really and have really driven me over the last couple of years, especially in this last few months. They've kind of had made me, driven me to a difficult decision that I made earlier this week. And we talked about battle buddies. My battle buddies have actually been alongside me the whole time. Through this decision that I had to make. On Tuesday, I actually resigned from New Hope as a pastor. We wanted to kind of do this because God has kind of shown me several things over the last 6 months, how I'm wired, how God best serves me, or how I best serve God. And my time here has been great. It's been nothing that anybody has done or said or anything like that. But God's really shown me over the last several months that my gift and my calling is in the marketplace with broken people, with the Gabes, to be able to rub elbows with those people and be a pastor in the marketplace. And that's also setting up the opportunity which Shelley and I actually feel a call in the next few, maybe year or so, 2 years, to go to Myanmar and teach that exact thing. One thing that really broke my heart this last trip, we have a network of about 22 church planters. Many of them are doing house church movement stuff. There's a movement in India right now. Last year, a friend of mine's movement, that a training that he's had, has created 600 house churches last year alone. And it's only spreading. And I sat and I listened to these church planters talk about how much they wanted a building and how much they needed a building to be able to reach more people. And that really broke my heart, because I'm not saying that the church building is a bad thing. It's a tool that we use. But each of us are called to go out and spread. And when we do, and especially in a country that is easily persecuted, when they build a building and somebody comes in and burns it down, what do they have left? Nothing. But if there is a network of people meeting all over, they can close one down, but there's still 15 or 20 other, or maybe 100 other. But I really feel like God's called Shelley and I to be able to train and equip people in a very difficult country to lead them in this whole idea of, I have to have a building to do church. And that's kind of been, I sat down with Jason this week and just had a real heart-to-heart about that. I feel like, you know, God's just been, he's been kind of pushing me a little bit. And when God pushes, you don't push back, because he's stronger than I am. But yeah, that's kind of...
Well. Yeah, so as Jeremy said, he shared that with me this week, and I personally am not too surprised. I'm a little surprised that he's leaving us. I'm not surprised that he has a heart to go and teach, because I do believe in the time that I've spent with him, you guys have heard him share, he definitely has a calling on his life, and the time that he and I have shared and spent together, kind of Tuesday through Friday, rubbing ideas against each other of trying to pass out pass through some passages and wrestle with some ideas and things like that. I've known that he definitely has a passion and heart for Scripture and for God's church and for His kingdom. And I said it the other night as we broke the news to the worship team. The one thing that I respect greatly about Jeremy is that his passion is to go and to lead these men who are doing church planting programs over in Myanmar, and he wants to teach them that it doesn't have to be the quote-unquote American style, where there's a building and you have the budget and you do all this stuff. And so rather than kind of coast out here in a church in the American style and then go over there and try to teach them something else, he's going to live it out here in the United States. And so that type of integrity and leadership is what makes it hard for me to say goodbye to Jeremy, because he is a man of God and he is a person that I do truly believe God is going to do amazing things for his kingdom. That said, I want to just encourage you with this last thought. Romans 15:14, I am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. As Jeremy just said, I don't ever want it to be where you look up here on this stage and think, oh, they have it all together, that they know it, and therefore I can never do it. Yes, Jeremy and I have gone through some training. We both have been to Bible school. Yes, we've had some classes and things like that. But the thing that truly equips Jeremy and equips me to share the gospel is the Holy Spirit. And each and every one of you who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ have been imbued with that, empowered with it. So I say to you, as Paul said, you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and each and every one of you are competent to teach one another. So, if you're like me, sometimes you hear about somebody like Jeremy, man, they're going to go to Myanmar. They're going to do this great, amazing thing. There's a part of you that might get a little jealous. Like, man, God, why don't you ever do that with me? Well, your Myanmar might be right here. It might be in the school system. It might be in Chandler or Boonville. It might be while you're at work. One of his buddies, a prayer buddy, is a sheriff's deputy. And Jeremy could tell you some stories of how that being a sheriff's deputy, he's been right there when people have been broken at the bottom of their life. In a moment where there seemed to be nothing but darkness, and he shared light with them. I know some of you in here are in law enforcement, and maybe you've had those opportunities. Or you're a fireman, or you're an emergency or nurse, or these moments when people are hurting. And yes, you can bring physical help and physical healing, but more importantly, you carry with you the hope of the world, the light of Jesus Christ, and you can share with them through prayer and carrying their burden, serving them, connecting with them, and hopefully eventually teaching them the truth of Jesus Christ. So today, we are sad. I am sad. But I am encouraged. I am encouraged that God is touching the world again through somebody who's come through these doors. This little church in Newburgh, we have another connection around the world. Paul writes that whatever the missionaries did, whatever the guys that they sent out, the Titus and the Timothy and those guys went and did, every supporting church, every launching church that sent them, they get to share in that glory when they stand before the Father. And so I'm encouraged and I am excited because I am confident. I know Shelley is not going to let him slack off. And I have no doubt that they are going to go to Myanmar and there's going to be some amazing things. And in some small way, we get to share in that glory. And you guys can go every day to where you live, where you work, where you shop, and do the exact same thing. Encourage one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much. Thank you for sharing Jeremy and Shelley with us these last 6 months and the encouragement that they've been to me personally, to us as a congregation. God, just thank you that you demonstrated right there in flesh and blood what we just read today, how that we can encourage through prayer and service. And God, both of them have a heart for that. And I just thank you for just giving us that example. Now, God, I just pray that you would help us this very week look for ways for us to go be better as one another in our family, in our circles of friends, in our co-workers. Most importantly, right here, God, in the body of Christ. May we do so that we reflect your love and your glory, and it's in your name we pray.